You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
We're in a bit of a pickle here because you actually could permanently die.
Yeah, I didn't realize this.
You get a 90% chance of not dying this turn.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have a 45% chance of stabilizing.
You roll a 1 or a 2, you die.
Okay.
Oh, no. I could see it. No. No!
What did you roll?
No!
What did you roll?
No!
No! No!
It's a 1.
Oh my god. No.
We need to start thinking about arrangements.
Oh. It's episode 15, and that's our first character death. There were 20 options. Two of them would kill you, and you rolled a 1.
Keep it, please. Please.
Lucky, please. She looks up at Bolon.
You may have slowed our progress, but the obnubulate curse will return.
Do you believe in justice?
Oh, yes. And it will be served.
Yes. On that we agree. And Talitha is going to run him through with her rapier.
Oh, yeah! Yeah!
The adventure continues.
You will deserve everything coming to you.
Now.
To the Glass Cannon Podcast. New year, new you, right, Sid?
I'm popping a little popper. New year, new character.
There it is. New hair.
New hair.
Did you have that last week?
You don't notice anything.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's messed up.
You sure?
Yeah.
You know what's a good rule of thumb for that kind of thing when you're not sure?
Don't
say anything.
Don't say it.
Did you do anything to your hair?
You're the type where someone would change their hair and you're like, new glasses. Is that it?
Something's different about you.
Nailed it.
Did you change your shirt?
Yes.
Last time I saw you. We're deep in winter in the fictitious time within which we're pretending it is. And let me ask you guys, well, let me say something and then hear what you think. Gosh. You got your Summer Olympics, which are coming out this year. They're going to be in Paris. Very nice. Then you get your Winter Olympics, which will be back in a couple of years. I prefer winter sports, but I enjoy watching the Summer Olympics more. Your thoughts?
Okay.
I like the Winter Olympics.
Yeah? You like watching them more than the Summer Olympics?
I don't think I differentiate the two like
that.
I
need you to choose a favorite.
The winter, but because I think I like the sports. You said the opposite. You're like, I like the sports better in the winter, but you like
you're
watching.
You're very confusing the way you said
I like the sports of the winter sports better, the ski and the snowboard and the hockey.
Right, it's more fun.
But I prefer watching the Summer Olympics.
So you prefer those sports more?
No, I just enjoy watching those sports more.
Yeah,
I enjoy playing the winter sports.
You enjoy snow.
Are you participating in the Winter Olympics?
I didn't know you were
I'm getting around to.
I've been asked to join.
Sorry, Joe asked you a very specific question. You enjoy half piping is the words he said.
Yes, so. I do. I'm an alternate. I don't want to say I exactly made the
big half pipe guy.
I don't want to overstate when I say I'm an alternate.
Half pipe's a bit too much. Quarter pipe for me.
I went into a half pipe. I've never skied. I've only snowboarded. And I went to a half pipe once, foolishly. I think I'd been drinking. And I got in there and I was like, oh God, what did I do? Oh, I just went right down the middle of the half pipe.
So you did
I didn't
want
to go up and down. I was like, ah! Not ready for that half.
I could see myself having the exact same reaction. If I ended up inside of a half pipe, I'd be like, why? What am I doing here? Like, terrified.
For some reason, I thought I would just drop in and go right to the other side and start catching air like Shaun White. And I just went,
They make it look so easy.
They really do.
Half pipes are hard.
Yeah.
They're not easy.
Everything's hard about skiing and snowboarding. Yeah. It's a difficult thing.
I love snowboarding. I think that's why I like the Winter Olympics.
We're going to take the kids to learn how to, we'll let them choose if they want to snowboard or ski this year. And that should be fun. And I'll get back up for the first time in 8 years. So I'm going to miss you guys.
Just after, at your age, just after surgery.
Huh? Yeah.
I'm a couple months removed.
You're so brave.
Yeah, that should be fun. You guys, do you enjoy a winter sports kid? Do you like building a snowman?
That's
from
a sport.
Time to time?
Yeah, Olympic sport, actually.
Yeah. They should. They added a bunch to the summer. I'm sure they'll add snowman making to the next
one. There's really only one winter Olympic sport that I like, and it's the biathlon.
Because like
they give you a gun. I think there's more sports would be improved if they let you have a gun for at least part of it.
Yeah. You shoot your opponent. It really seems unsafe.
It's a hilarious
water polo with pistols.
Yeah.
It's the plot of a James Bond movie where there's one of the henchmen is a biathlete.
I bet you they don't let Ireland compete. Because if they get mad if they lose, they say, bah, bah, bah.
This sucks.
It's the seventh time we've had an O'Brien kill a member of the Kenyan squad.
And then he claimed diplomatic immunity and fled the country.
Okay, you big, I want to say snowboarder.
I literally was like, Olympics, I can talk about this. And then you just started talking about in general winter sports. And I was like, winter sports, Google.
Are you a summer cat?
Yeah, no, I'm an indoor cat. And
she was sunbathing a few minutes ago when we had.
Yeah, I like
get
standing
lunch.
In the sun, but like a lizard, mm-hmm. like so fully clothed, just absorbing the radiation.
She was sunning herself,
but not like tanning. I like for Olympics gymnastics, which I think is both seasons, so it doesn't matter.
Men's and women's.
I mean, men's is cool because they do the
rings,
the arm stuff the that ring. The women's can do. Yeah. But
what's your favorite? Do you have like a favorite gymnastic event or like is like the beam?
Like the
or
balance
like,
beam to me is
fun.
Yeah, because it's like the hardest, I think. And it just looks.
I can't
nuts.
Even watch it. It
Imagine,
just makes me sick.
I just think every time of like just like a little off the center, rolling your ankle.
When they do those like multiple routine, like chain things, and they just go in a straight line, like that thing's only like 5-6 inches wide, and they're just.
There's not a lot of deaths.
They're great.
Or like paralyzing situations. So that always makes me feel good. Because like you would think there would be a lot of news around like, the seventh gymnast.
Seventh, balance beam
well,
death.
Well, when you're doing
today.
Stuff like that, you're learning how to fall and like as safe as you can. I mean like what, in that really famous Olympics where US won gold and it was like that dream team and Dominique Mochiani was on it. Mm-hmm. That one girl like broke her ankle doing the vault. Yeah.
Fuck it off. You can do it.
My favorite thing is when a lot of female gymnasts like do a move that has never been done before. Yeah, that's cool. And then immediately the judges are like, no one is ever allowed to do that again.
Yeah.
Because it's so dangerous.
Is it Nadia Comaneci?
Yes.
There's a video of her doing the uneven bars in the 70s. She got a perfect 10 and she did something called like the death drop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watch this video. It is absolutely amazing. And she literally got the gold medal and they were like, no one is allowed to do that move.
10 out of 10. Yep. Not allowed anymore.
Yep.
But that's
Simone Biles did it too, I think.
Yeah, she's got like a bunch of stuff. Like her body like defines physics the way that she can like move it.
So
and that's
cool.
Like just so fun to watch.
My sister was a gymnast and balance beam was
what?
Her. Yeah. I mean, she was good, but she was not like, she was like good and then she dropped out of high school. Balance beam was her kind of, was her thing. And she did. She like misjudged the length of it or something. I wasn't there. My mom said she like was like did a string of things and then just face planted on the ground.
Oh,
the coach didn't push the mat. They didn't do the thing where
was
they
a competition.
Save you. Well, they're still supposed to do it.
I don't know.
I don't think that's how that works for the balance.
Not
beam.
In
I don't
Jersey.
Think that they
Not
anticipate Jersey. You overshooting it.
They just do a balance beam over cement. In
I
Jersey.
Also used to be a gymnast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would roll my ankle walking across the mat. So. I had to quit my dream.
I had no interest in ever joining her, but when she went to like a gymnastics camp, like there was like a training camp you go to, and I went to see it. We went to like when we picked her up, and the coolest thing about it is like for practice, they would have these like pits full of styrofoam cubes, and so you could like dismount into the.
Safely.
And I was like, I just want to get up on it and just like diving board like into the pool, like into the pit.
Oh yeah,
they did not allow me to do that.
Yeah,
that's a shame. You know, now you can just pay to go to those places.
Yes.
Sam takes the kids there all the time.
I mean, I think we paid to send her to that camp.
I don't think it'd feel good to do it in my current aged body, jumping into a foam pit and then just being stuck there. It's not like water. You can't swim out of it.
There'd be a lot of like entertaining content and me watching me get out of the foam pit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be very amusing.
I don't even want to kneel down.
Kneel down and just your knees crack.
Kneel down.
Did you do it in college or did you?
Well, when I was like very young, like elementary school. And then actually in college, I took an ice skating class as my gym class.
That's so
And I was whoa, really good dodge. At it. I was really good at it, actually.
Why'd you stop?
Because I was like, I had the 4 credits that I needed or whatever. So I stopped doing it.
Wow.
Do you guys want to hear something very funny?
Mm-hmm.
No.
In high school.
All right.
I did the plays and the musicals. I was like involved in theater. I also did track and field. But for my senior year, I thought it would be funny to, I called it auditioning for the varsity cheerleading team. So I did that and I made it onto the team.
Oh no.
You did it ironically? Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
I did it ironically.
Because cheerleaders are stupid.
Aren't there movies about this?
Is that what you're saying?
That's what
no,
I heard.
Because I wasn't interested in actually being on the team. But then I was friends with all the girls and they were very nice and they were like, you have to do it. And I was like, okay. So then I did it.
You're perfect at everything else, Sydney. You really should do it.
No, but I did it. I went to cheer camp. Like it's a camp you go to before the school year begins. Yeah, you go to like a sleepaway camp and like all you do is cheer. You have like a spirit stick that you like. It was like a cult. It was horrifying. But yeah, I did like tumbling. I was a backspotter. We were very into like stunts, our cheer team in high school. So we did dance, but not as much. We did a lot of like throwing and like catching and backhand springs. And then I got kicked in the face and broke my nose.
Oh,
and they threw you off the team?
Quit the team.
Was it part of a stunt or someone was pissed at you
no.
for failing?
Right. Yeah, I was like,
on your knees.
I was a
bite the curb.
I was a backspotter. Bite the curb. God, did they take
last
me?
Last time you flip so poorly.
Take me to the parking lot.
I don't think, by the way, when you bite the curb, I don't think it's your nose that breaks.
Those afterwards.
Sniff the curb.
Someone saved her at the last minute.
But I was a backspot.
You embarrass me.
So like you get hit the most. You're right there. You're supposed to catch them. You're like the one who catches the girl so they don't hit their heads. And we were doing some sort of like spin move and she kicked me in the face.
That's so funny.
And I immediately started crying. And then I was like, I'm quitting. I can't lose this.
Did you scream like I quit while crying?
No. I politely went
to I quit.
It's like, she doesn't even want to be here. I make her the backspotter.
I had surgery. I had septoplasty. They had to fix my septum. And the girls were like, you can't quit. I'm like, look at my face.
What do you mean I can't quit?
And that's why cheerleading is an intense sport.
It's very intense.
It's actually
intense.
A sport.
Yeah. That's true. Though, how many of your cool Brooklyn friends know about this secret from your past?
All of them now. Because they all watch this show,
I assume they
support me in everything I
is
do.
Is it possible you just got a nose job in high school and this was the elaborate story you told to cover it?
No.
Sydney.
It's okay.
Does this nose look like I got
or rhino a nose
job? If I could afford a nose job, I would still get one to this day. I think everybody wants a nose job.
I want no nose job.
No. Do you want a nose job?
Odeo dode and no nose job. Odeo dode and no nose job.
Are you buckwheat? What was that?
It's Digital Underground.
Let me ask you this.
It's a great song.
You ever been punched in the face?
Yes.
Like, boom.
In the nose.
In the face. Anybody else been punched in the face? Matthew, Joe, I figured you've been punched in the face.
I've been punched in the face. Oh, no, I have been punched in the face.
Punched in the face by, like, on the street, not like a tournament.
Not on the street.
Okay.
No.
On the street?
I've been punched
in the face. Walking down the street.
Playground. No. Yeah, no, but so everyone except Sydney and I have been punched in the face. I did, like, martial arts.
I said I was kicked in the face. Does mine not count?
Not on the street. On the
I took a baseball of it.
Wasn't on the street.
Wait, all right, but who punched you?
Friend of mine.
You want to talk about it?
Why? What did you do?
We got into a fight.
This recently?
Were you correcting his grammar?
Did you punch him back?
How old were you?
Yeah, like middle school.
You punched him back?
We were fighting.
Who won? Oh.
Nobody. Nobody wins those fights. Okay?
But he landed a good blow and you dropped like a sack of gabagool?
No. I don't remember any sack dropping, but there was... no, I remember it was like a tussle and then we were just like... And then we were angry and then we were hitting each other and I got hit in the face. But that wasn't as bad as like I took the baseball in the face. That one hurt.
Yeah, I bet. Who punched you?
Same situation.
Middle school scuffle.
It wasn't a friend. It was like a real asshole piece of shit. a little older than me. Yeah, just jacked me up.
Wow. Did your dad, was he mad at you for not winning?
For being pathetic?
Yeah.
He beat me later. Yeah. All wrapped it around.
Took you to church to go to confession.
No, it was just a fight, just a fist fight. Yeah.
Big old fist
fight. It rocked in the face and it hurt.
Same skid? Was it a middle school?
Actually, no, it was elementary school. I actually got kicked in the stomach but I did get smacked in the face in a different incident. I was replaying Capture the Flag and this like really nerdy, the one kid in the school nerdier than me, I was guarding the flag and he stole the flag. And so everybody was making fun of me. I says, I can't you believe you let Redacted steal the flag. And I was just like, oh man, I'm so humiliated. And so I'm regarding it again. I was like, I'm not letting that happen again. And he went for it again. And I could see the look in his eyes. He was all confident. He was just like, cocky. He's going to do it again. So I moved to dodge him and he slammed his forehead right into the bridge of my nose.
Oh,
blood spraying everywhere.
God.
Getting hit in the nose is so painful.
Bad, yeah.
Wait, you're leaving out the end of that story, Skid. Did you maintain control of the flag?
I did, because he fell backwards because I knocked him knocked him back with the bridge of my nose. Unable to complete his mission to grab the flag.
Kate, who hit you in the face?
Oh, no, just like in kickboxing when we're sparring. But I did punch someone in the face once.
Really?
Yeah.
Like after a couple of cocktails?
No, a friend was just like, I've never been punched in the face before. I kind of want to know what it feels like. And I was like, I'll punch you in the face.
Wow.
And I punched him in the face twice.
Was this after a few cocktails or
like
no?
You went, boom, did you feel that? Boom, no came back drinks. In again.
It was outside of a show.
Was the first time not enough?
Yeah, he was like, I don't know about that one. And I was like, I can try to do it harder. So then I did it again. And his girlfriend's like, can you please stop punching my girlfriend in the face?
I don't care what he says. Stop hitting him.
Did it hurt your hand?
No. I don't think I knew how to punch then.
Hmm. Well, you do now.
Yes.
I'll tell you. We should all have a New Year's resolution to punch somebody in the face.
Punch each other.
Or not. Yes. No. Or to not punch someone in the face.
Yes, the opposite of what you said.
Well, let's talk about it during this quick break.
I have tried it all when it comes to shaving, Naish. Multiple blades, subscription services, fancy NYC grooming shops. That was before I had kids when there used to be money in my pocket. But I digress. These days, I'm just looking for solid, reliable, cost-effective shaving solutions to just get the job done with no pain and no skin irritation. Well, meet Henson Shaving. Henson Shaving is a family-owned aerospace parts manufacturer, which, of course, sent my geek radar beeping like crazy. They legitimately manufacture parts for the International Space Station and the Mars Rover. And now they're bringing precision engineering to my shaving experience and yours too, shortly, I hope. By using aerospace-grade CNC machines, Henson makes metal razors that extend only 0.0013 inches, which is less than the thickness of a human hair. When I loaded my first double-sided blade into the aluminum razor, I honestly thought I did it wrong. It appeared to me that the blade didn't even extend outside of the metal casing. Well, I was wrong. I gave it a shot, and it was the smoothest shave I have ever had. And since I'm a bearded fellow, I'm always just shaving my neck, which is a prime spot for looser skin and little nicks. Not this time. The reason the extension of the blade is so small is because of blade wobble. They want to eliminate that because even at a micro level, blade wobble is what causes nicks and scrapes. Anyway, I don't want to keep geeking out about the design. I want you to know that I think this is a shaving revolution that, in a way, is returning me to an old school shaving philosophy. One perfectly designed razor, masterfully built, that I'll use for the rest of my life. Now, all I need to do is buy single replacement blades at a cost of, and this is no exaggeration, $3 to $5 a year. I had come to think of multiple blades in their crazy expensive replacement packs as the best solution in the market. Well, I was wrong. I thought subscriptions were the way to go for a while. It's not. That's a smart business strategy to lock in customers, but it is not fundamentally a better way to shave. It's time to say no to subscriptions and yes to a razor that will literally last you a lifetime. The first time you hold it, you'll feel it. I'm telling you. The thing is built to last forever. Visit HensonShaving.com/GCP to pick the razor for you and use code GCP and you'll get 2 years worth of blades for free along with your razor. You just have to make sure to add them to your cart. That is 100 blades when you head to HensonShaving.com/GCP and use code GCP.
We're still undecided. It was like three for punching, three for no punching. So,
it's, well, you're the only one who hasn't been punched in the face. Would you volunteer to let us all punch you in the face?
No, but I think I'd like to sock somebody, not like that doesn't deserve it, like someone that like really deserves it, or Hitler. Someone who steps to me.
Steps to you.
Be like, what did you say to me? And let them throw the first punch, and then wham, you're down. Right in the bridge of the nose. You push their nose bone into their brain.
That's how they die. Yeah.
I like that you glide over taking that first punch as if you and your 40-year-old body wouldn't be like, oh!
Yeah, I'd probably crumple after the first one. I don't know. I think you never know if you have a strong chin until you get hit in the face. Mm-hmm. I think I might have a strong chin.
You might.
Weak knee.
I think they would fracture my orbital socket immediately, and I would have to go to the hospital.
Yeah, but it's fight or flight. Like, you can crumple the ground.
I would
like
fly to the hospital where I need to get surgery.
I actually read that's a new, like, trend now among the youth is hammering, where it's they will actually, like, use a hammer on their jaw to break their jaw to give themselves a stronger jawline.
I'm sorry.
What? Sorry, is this, what? Like,
I read this
incel
today.
Man thing? Like,
no, it's to, like, to look like a just to give yourself a more handsome jawline.
This is an incel Chad thing. It has to be. There's no way.
I don't know.
There are
bone
these things.
Bone smashing. It's a TikTok trend.
Bone smashing.
They hit their faces with smash?
Blunt
bone
objects.
Smash. You're not cool if you don't bone smash.
I guess like you also lose the weight when you get your jaw wired. Then you can't.
Yeah, you look
for a month or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. Oh.
That's awful.
It is awful. I don't recommend it.
I don't recommend the youth of America. That sounds horrible.
They feel the same way about you.
I know, that's true. No, it's the children who are wrong. Yeah, that does sound terrible. They do sell these things that you can chew on that like strengthen and restructure your
jaw. I've seen you like, it's like a thing, you like chew it and it builds the muscles.
So you have like a real pronounced jawline.
Creepy.
Why waste time doing that when you can just take a ball peen hammer to the face? Well, odd. Speaking of taking a ball peen hammer to the face... One of you died last week.
Who wasn't?
What?
I don't know. I forgot. I don't really.
We should draw straws. Figure out who died.
I don't know why I'm suggesting that.
Somebody here died, and I'm not saying who. It's just probably somebody at the table, but we should all figure out who it was.
We're all out here trying to figure out who died.
We're all trying to figure out who died.
Listen, it was Sydney's character.
It was Sydney's character.
I'm with you, Skid. I'm not interested in this bit.
No.
It was you.
And yeah, frankly, I'm surprised you showed up.
I know. You texted me not to.
Yeah.
You said, don't bother coming back.
Well, it was awkward because I called somebody else in and I had to just send them home.
I passed them in the hallway.
Sydney punched them in the face.
They're downstairs restructuring their jaw as we speak, but rough way to end the year.
I know we're all making jokes, but it was truly so sad. Those tears were real.
They were.
It is weird, like, losing a character that early in the campaign, though. It's so different than it would be a few levels from now, like, after we've really gotten to know them. It's still emotional, but it's not the same thing as if it had happened.
It's not like a loss. It's more so like I think I was saying to Joe, you think about the future of the character.
It's the possibilities
I was
that are
so
lost.
The potential loss.
Excited for things they could do at later levels. And it's like, I'm not gonna rebuild the character I had. You know, like, that was such a specific character. So you lose that. You lose, like, the potential of what they were going to be. But you're right. It's like, kind of best worst case scenario to tie at level one. I wasn't even level two.
Not only level one, like seconds from leveling.
Seconds.
Yeah.
All you had to do was
survive. Like a round from level two.
Like one round. Like one breath from level two.
Yeah, no one was closer to level two than you were when you died.
Right at the buzzer. Died
right at the buzzer.
But, you know, the show must go on, and it will.
Troy, who was that character death brought to us by?
I don't know.
our sponsors for this show.
They're the ones responsible?
They are responsible.
All right, so if you didn't like that death last week, be sure to thank Demiplane, Foundry VTT, and Norse.
Particularly
Norse Foundry. If there's anyone you're not really that fond of, Norse Foundry for all of your random needs.
If there's any characters you want to get rid of, Norse Foundry.
It was pretty random.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
Let me
much.
Ask you this, and be honest. Yeah. Was it a Norse Foundry die that you rolled for that one on?
Nope, and I should have rolled Norse Foundry. I rolled, like, my lucky die, the die that it always rolls well for me. So
I've seen that lucky die because Sydney sits next to me at Glass Cannon Live, and she's used it multiple times to the point where I've said to you, off mic, several times, stop using that weighted die. It's messed up because there's liquid in it, and every time she rolls it, it says 18, 19, or 20. Every time.
Not today, Satan.
So she picked to roll that one, and it was a natural one, which is just wild.
The dice giveth and the dice taketh.
When you told me your character's name was Lucky, all I could think was like, oh boy, that's not good.
That's tempting fate.
Yep. First Very to go. Bold.
I thought maybe you'd be so benevolent, you'd be like, well, she is a cat folk. You have 9 tries.
My favorite. It's my favorite animal, but...
Yeah, sad.
You stink. Let's open today's session deep within a forest. Dark. Maybe it's night, or maybe just the trees above are making it hard to tell what time of day it is. It's a familiar looking forest as far as forests go. We just kind of like slowly pan across this greenery and wildlife until eventually an enormous arch comes into view. And it's surrounded by half a dozen smaller arches. There's a small group of people standing about, people wearing green headdresses that have antlers coming out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps oak stewards. We close in on them, and one of them turns towards us. It's Bolan Nagaso. He looks anxious, perturbed. He's like looking around. He's like, am I the only one that thinks this is getting a bit ridiculous? Why do they have us out here? Going to get killed by some wild beast before we ever stop anyone from doing something untoward. He just keeps talking. But now we're looking like further back from someone else's perspective who's like in the bushes watching this go down. We just see Bolan complaining. Suddenly, his ramblings are interrupted by a loud, like, boom. And one by one, all of the gates light up. This person who is in the distance watching just sees the gates come to life and then watches as each of the oak stewards step through. One of them, the one that was just talking, very eagerly jumping through the archway. And then just like that, they're gone. Person watches in fear, waits. The gates are still thrumming, and slowly we follow this figure as it emerges from the brush and follow them as they go all the way up to the gates from the side. And as they turn to face the gates, we climb up their body from behind and see long, white, flowing hair going down their back. And their body language changes as they turn and look into the archway. We don't see what they see, but they are transfixed. And in that trance-like state, they walk through. We come back to a completely burnt-out funeral pyre. There's no body there anymore. The wood is just a couple of blackened branches on the ground. I don't know how they would collect ashes in such a way, but or if they even would.
Well, I imagine Zephyr had an urn made, so she's has the ashes on her like belt for now.
Okay.
Because we figure we can't go.
All right, so I imagine that they built something so that they would collect, like funnel her remains into something. And
Dustbuster.
A dust.
Yes.
What is this thing? Oh, shit. What? Oh,
mother.
It's jammed. It really
opens up in their face.
I'm allergic to cats.
It's in my mouth.
And they just, maybe they hand.
So sacrilegious, so rude.
They hand something to you, Zephyr, to a little glass bottle with gray within it. Lucky was so strong and powerful and now reduced to this tiny jar. And the ceremony is over now. I imagine some of you waited to watch. Others, maybe it was too much. And we see a messenger or a lower-ranking Oak Steward come over to Lemma and whisper something in her ear. She looks up at all of you and nods.
Pardon me, Brother Raymond.
Yes, he's very distracted and really out of sorts. He's just trying to get out of there and smoke some drugs, like, as soon as possible. Oh, God.
Brother Remus, I can tell you are upset. There is someone here that wishes to speak with you and your friends. They are waiting in the same room where first we met.
Did they say who sent them?
No, it's someone that's...
Asked for us by name?
No, by description. Oh.
Okay, and he'll look over at Talitha for a moment. She's not in this conversation, right? He's just...
She's smoking some drugs.
Yeah. Who's my fucking drugs?
Just like all songs.
The funeral.
Talitha. It seems someone is in Lemma's office asking for us by description, perhaps sent by...
What did they say about us?
What did they say about us?
There's someone that just wishes to speak with you.
What did they call us?
Them.
I was to speak with them.
Them.
Did they perhaps mention Dr. Riddleson?
No, no. No, it doesn't seem like they even know you. There was no name given or anything. Just one of our assistants said that they are waiting for you in the atrium.
No, thank you.
All right. We're good.
We can't speak to
you. We must go to the quaking stacks.
We're a little...
We only have 3 days.
Yeah. We're spent right now.
This is a very bad time.
Very emotional experience.
I'll send them on their way. By the way, somebody said you have drugs?
Me?
I don't know. What you're talking about.
All out.
You holding, Brother Ramius?
How much money do you have?
Brother Ramius. Holding.
Let's go find out who this is. Were they armed?
I do not know.
Talitha draws her rapier.
Brother Ramius draws his book.
Throw the book at him, Ramius.
1d3 bludgeoning.
It's an improvised weapon.
It's an improvised weapon. All right, let's go back. Lead the way.
All right, so do all of you accompany Brother Ramius?
Have you finished gathering the ashes?
Yep. Yep.
And Buggles was just sort of like sitting cross-legged on the ground by the pyre, just sort of like humming and rocking until you come and interrupt him. It's like, let's go. Like, then he'll get up and follow. But.
There's someone asking for us. Let's find out what they want.
So Brother Ramius, Talitha, Zephyr, and Buggles leave this scene, effectively leaving Lucky. And
Lucky's on Zephyr's belt.
She's always with us.
Always with us.
Leaving the memory of her behind.
And in our hearts.
Yeah.
Sure.
And up here.
I'll never let go.
All right.
Whatever.
Time to move on.
It's the next episode.
It's her funeral.
We're at the funeral.
I was in denial last episode. Give me a moment.
The funeral like comes through closed. It's like, it's time to
move. The Oaks are like, yeah.
Good days till the end of the world.
Literally a few hours.
3 days till the end of the world.
3 days till the end of the world. We're still mourning? How are we doing?
Time to laugh again.
You walk down back into the Wicker House, and you walk down this long hallway and turn into an atrium. And what do you see?
You see a...
Such a surprise.
A slight woman. Nobody would have expected this. A slight woman, maybe 5 feet tall. And she is a woman. But she looks... There's something about her. She has like a fox-ish, like mouse-ish, cat-ish sort of like face, her features. Very tiny, you know, nose. These kind of like dark eyes. But this long white hair that it is like quite long, like down to her butt.
So she looks human, but with some vaguely...
Lupine.
Yeah, like lupine.
Features.
No,
vulpine. Sure. Vulpine.
Vulpine features. Yeah, small facial features and these black eyes, long, thick hair. She has like this white robe, but she is wearing armor. She has on these like silver breastplate, and these boots. And she turns around and sees you approach and then gets down on a knee and bows.
Brother Ramius looks at Talitha, looks at Zephyr.
Is this her, Brother Ramius? But
please, there is no need to kneel. Stand up. Who are you?
She stands back up to her full feet of 5 feet. She says, "My name is Asta. You don't know me, and I don't know you. But I've seen you. All of you. And I had to meet with you."
Asta, I am Brother Ramius of Latria.
Talitha Breakwater.
She bows as you each say your name.
Zephyr.
Ackles.
And you say you were watching us. When? Where?
He's a little suspicious. Put it down in your journal.
She picks up on this.
Make a note for next week's recap.
Got it.
Got it.
I understand your suspicion. I have been watching you for quite a while. I saw you in the woods. I saw you...
You were alone in the Wildwood?
Yes, I have... Yes. She smiles, a sort of like sharp-toothed smile. I spend most of my time in nature. But I heard you before I saw you, and I heard some sort of fight. I'm sorry that I didn't help you. I should have. You fought with the Oak Stewards. There was a unicorn.
You saw this?
Again, I should have helped you, but I didn't know who you were. I didn't know. And she lowers her voice, sort of looking around. You have passed through. You have entered the gates. Have you not?
Brother Ramius gets a chill, like, down his back.
Yes.
Have you?
Yes. I thought perhaps I was alone. I didn't know there would be so many.
Do you know the name, Dr. Riddleson? Do you know this name?
No.
He has not heard of her.
Zephyr leans in. Not everyone who's been through the gate is a friend.
Spicy.
Like, Zephyr, like, when you said that you were watching us, she maybe stands up straighter. Because that's kind of like, why didn't you help us?
Creepy.
Her almost died three times.
And we lost our friend.
Yeah.
We
definitely. You saw us struggling then.
Help.
Yeah, but.
So.
She
did not know at the time. Correct. What our objectives were.
20.
Maybe Talitha would know, maybe, that she is not a human.
I picked up on that.
Do you want more information?
Would you roll a 20? You also see a poison blade hidden in her palm that she's pulling out toward you.
She's got a blade!
Not even she knew she had it.
I signal the bugle. Blow her up!
It's got a blade! Psychic explosion. Her head bursts to flames.
The secret code word. Blow her up!
I just never trust others again.
To the Quaking Stacks? No.
Quaking Stacks?
I guess, could I roll you recognize you're not human. Could I roll a nature check?
I would assume maybe Talitha, out of everybody, being an investigator and sort of understanding and picking up on these things, maybe you know. She is not a human. You maybe believe she is a kitsune? She sort of has these fox-like features, and you might know that kitsune can take on the forms of humans. They can sort of like
shape changes.
Yeah.
Walks.
I take it. So Talitha will like take this in and say, I take it we are not meeting you in your true form.
And she bows again, smiling. It seemed better to approach you like this. Again, I understand your hesitation, but please do not think that I was hiding from you because I didn't want to help. I didn't know who you were or what you were capable of. I only saw another who had entered through the gate, and you were fighting his people. I didn't understand. I was changed when I came out.
Who? Who did you see through the gate? Walk through the gate.
Oak Stewards, but different. They wore masks. They were trying to do something terrible.
They didn't have masks.
They didn't have masks at the time. But later, when you fought them, they did.
You are speaking of the...
Olan.
Yes.
Olan.
They said that name.
So many months ago. You saw this?
Yes.
Why?
I was in the woods.
Do you know of the gates? Had you visited them before?
Well, everybody knows of the gates. But no, not in that way. I had no idea what was going on. But I needed to go through them. Do you understand?
Did you return with a mark on your skin?
Yes.
Where?
It's on my neck.
Let us see it.
And she pulls her long hair up to the side, and you see, clear as day, there is this like large symbol.
Did you walk through the same gate that Bolan walked through?
I believe so.
Well, perhaps we must send another letter to Dr. Riddleson. All right. You've met us.
Well, why now?
What do you want?
Why now? Why do you choose now to reveal yourself?
Because you are the only... You are the only people I know who have had this experience. I thought you were traveling together for a reason. I thought...
And she, like, gets a little... She, clearly, this is not going how she thought that you would accept her with open arms. And she's sort of like bows again. I understand.
It's like, I've been stalking you and I watched you fight and I didn't help you.
Why? And I watched one of you die.
She's not great at talking to humans, clearly. Yeah. She bows again. It was a mistake.
Buggles he's been watching her and he feels like he has a read on her that he trusts. And he turns to the others and says,
She is alone. We all felt this way. We were all alone once. We found each other. We shouldn't deny fellowship to one such as us. I say we trust her.
She bows.
That was very kind of you, Buggles. Very warm indeed.
That blade. Can I see that you're carrying a sword?
Oh, yeah. She pulls out her katana slowly. She just pulls it out and presents it to you. Yes?
Then you use it.
And she smiles. Of course.
These are grave times. Perhaps you might wish to accompany us. Buggles is right. We are safer in safety in numbers.
Yeah, you're lucky. You're lucky that Buggles vouched for you. We'll let you join.
We'll let you live.
She bows. I understand you are perfectly capable of taking care and protecting yourselves. I saw that. But I will offer myself to you, to protect you. I'm only searching for answers. I won't be a burden.
We are searching for answers as well. But there is a matter, pressing matter. We must get to the library. Would you like to accompany us? We have research to do. We'll catch you up on the way.
Yes, I would like that very much.
And we tell her everything.
Yeah.
So it's as if, somehow, she's been with us all along.
Ah, very good. And do you send another raven to Dr. Riddleson?
And
we have found another gatewalker.
I weep for your lost friend.
Don't talk about her!
You don't!
Rapier to your throat.
Let not her name cross your lips!
I don't even know her name!
She's dead because of you!
You killed her! And it was a fox, too!
I know, that's why I'm like, is she serious right
now?
Honestly, the fox?
That's a great suspicion. That's very funny.
It's messed up.
Pretty fucked up, whoever did that.
Whatever idea that was.
Asta.
Twisted individual.
Asta.
Asta. La Vista. Asta is going to join up with you as you head to the Quaking Stacks. Oh, man, this has got to be tough. You just lost your friend. Kind of maybe was dealing with that. Then went through the whole funeral, so all the emotions come back. Now you meet another gatewalker. It's a lot. But if what the Oak Stewards have said is true, as usual, time is of the essence. So you go to the Quaking Stacks. Brother Ramius has been here, so you know this is Seven Arches Grand Library. It's one of the city's tallest and most unique structures. I mentioned before, I don't know if I did, that it used to be a spiraling stone tower that like tapered like a cone or a seashell. Over time, it's been ruined, and the ruins have been taken over by a grove of magical aspen trees. So you arrive, and sure enough, Snailfoot Jones is there, and he's just like stamping a book, putting it back. And says,
hello.
Snailfoot.
Brother Latria of Ramius, yes?
The other way around, Brother Ramius.
Latria, brother.
Ramius.
Ramius, brother.
How is your aunt?
My aunt, she died.
Wasp Knuckle died?
Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes, no, she was sick for a long time.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
I brought friends with
me. Our condolences to your uncle.
Oh, you've brought friends.
I've brought friends this time,
Thank
yes.
you for the condolences.
What is his name?
Bill. Uncle Bill.
Married into the family, I guess.
Yes.
Yes, Uncle Bill will be all right. He's very handsome and has already started dating. She died last week.
Under suspicious circumstances. Yes.
It seems it is a local custom to move on from death very quickly here.
Yes, yes. Took a terrible fall down a staircase and her head was caved in.
What?
And already dating.
Thank God Bill's okay.
Very fortunate that he was not also
very fortunate
to the
he
accident.
Didn't also fall down the stairs.
He wasn't near her
this
when
horrible,
she
tragic
fell.
Accident.
I'm so
was he, at, was he very, in the pool?
Very
the
fortunate
time.
He also happened to be seen yes. elsewhere at the time. Of death.
Yes. So, Bill was not the one that found her with her head caved in. Terrible fall. He'll be all right. But what brings you back to the Quaking Stacks?
See, you are crying.
I'm sorry, I really loved her.
First, I would like to return this. And he hands yes. over the history of the
it's
Wildwood.
It's not due until next week. You are welcome to
I've already read it.
I wish all of our customers returned books early. You don't know how hard it is to track down people with overdue library fees. I'm very slow. I have a club foot. And I have to go all around town trying to collect fees.
Oh, well, that is unacceptable. You give us the names of these people and we will go door to door in the next day. And collect each and every one of
that
these fees.
I'm not
so
doing that.
Kind.
Boom! Side quest. Collect the library.
The snail foot initiative. I'd rather read the books.
The snail foot initiative.
Part of is this what you've been doing?
No.
We are library fees.
We've got a huge phone book. This is last month, so thank you.
How
most
many?
Of these are within a 6 mile radius.
Snailfoot, I do...
Please, Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, I do appreciate the book, and I didn't see anything in it about the Thin Lands. Is this a concept that you've heard of before or are familiar with at all?
No. The Thin Lands. Is that
they are rumored
city?
To be bordering the Wildwood, perhaps an extraplanar land.
Oh. Sounds exciting.
It sounds mystical, yes, and it was not in the book. The book was more of a naturalist approach, and so I felt that it's not surprising that it wasn't in there, but have you ever heard anything of that nature?
No. The Thin Lands, no. It's a very fun name, though. I'm writing a bit of a spy novel. At the moment. As you know, I enjoy a good mystery, and so I've taken up to trying my hand at being an author, and perhaps I will use this city as a location in my book.
Talitha is going to take the bark rip
yes.
and slide it across the counter. And say,
oh, you still have the bark rip from before. Well, this is good. With this, you could commune with the library tree. The tree has knowledge that goes back farther than us all. You could ask it about the Thin Lands. I say ask. The process is a bit different. But the caretaker of the tree is down there. If you show him the bark rip... you will have the opportunity to commune, and the knowledge you seek, you will be pointed in that direction.
Well, then we shall do that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to talk to the tree.
Oh, look at this little fellow.
Hello.
What is your name, sir?
Buggles.
Buggles.
His eyes all red.
Look at you. Where are you from?
I'm from very far away, indeed.
Very far away?
Yes.
Well, good for you.
Thank you. Sorry, my friends just died.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Having just lost someone myself, I know it's horrible. Did they fall down the stairs and have their head caved in?
No, I don't think it's a spree. Good. Do you happen to have any books on geography, local geography?
Oh, yes, there are many books on geography. I don't care for them, but you could I could point you in the direction of the geography section.
Yeah, I'd like to go take a look if I could.
Sure, it's right over there.
And he shuffles off in the direction of the G section.
G, yes, right there. It's geography.
Speaking of G.
Oh, hello.
Hello, hey. Do you have any books about Gorgas?
Gorgas, no, but I've heard about these attacks as of late. Horrible, horrible. Perhaps that's what happened to my aunt Waspknuckle. Perhaps a gorga pushed her down the stairs and then jumped from the top with all of its weight and landed directly on her head. in such a way that it looked like a hammer had smashed her head in multiple times. Yes, that's clearly what happened.
Maybe what your aunt question? Was participating in this new trend that people do where they take a hammer and then they just hit themselves in the face.
Oh, teenagers and their face hammers.
Just a thought. Been thinking lots about death lately.
There may be some books, I don't know if specifically on Gorgas, but books on creatures from other planes. That would be near the geography section.
Cool. I follow after Buggles. Wait up.
Any other questions, Brother Ramius? I cannot leave my post, but you're welcome to walk.
Going straight to the tree.
Yep.
Let me know if you need any help.
Is the caretaker of the trees, a kind and accepting person, or do we need to letter them up with some gift?
No, your Barkrit, as long as you have the Barkrit, they will let you commune.
All right. Let's go to the tree.
Have I ever heard of this before? I mean, Brother Ramius' libraries are almost, they're like churches to him and his people in a way. Has he ever heard of a library tree? Of like a almost mystical, like, tree of knowledge
like the,
housed within
the
a library?
The tree is like the card catalog,
sounds
like.
Yeah. Or is this like,
do we decimal tree?
Unique to this place?
It's completely unique. And this goes back to like the old elves that lived here, you think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
fascinating.
If you've heard about it, you've heard about it in like maybe fairy tales.
Mm. Wow. This is incredible. A true tree of knowledge.
I just want to get like some, like an atlas of the Riverlands just so I can look for some of these places that we...
See one? It's big, bigger than you. Big atlas.
I'm out with it.
Let's go talk to the tree. I found a book.
I find the creepiest book on Gorgas I can find.
Yeah.
I can also go to the tree because I want to see that.
Book on Shadow Plane, on the Shadow Plane, and creatures from the Shadow Plane. And you go to the tree. And like I said, when you first talk to Snailfoot Jones, it's like behind his desk is just all of these trees that are glowing with some sort of faint magic, with one large tree in the center, and they're sitting amongst the ruins of whatever the original building was. So you walk down there, and there is a man standing by the tree, just kind of looking down at the ground. And the tree just goes all the way up into the sky, and you look up, and it's like branches are white, and the sunlight is filtering through and just kind of like leaving sparkles all over the floor.
What time of year is it?
It's winter.
Oh,
January, yeah.
It's not There's no leaves on it?
No leaves.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
I am Brother Ramius of Flatria. This is Talitha Breakwater. We are interested in communing with the tree.
Do you have a Barkrit?
Indeed we do.
Your friends to the Oak Stewards.
Yes. And I am a devotee of the Keeper. Has the Keeper ever made his presence known in this place? It is quite magical.
It is not a being that I am familiar with, though the gods are welcome here. Have you ever communed with the library tree?
No. I have not. I've heard of it in children's tales, but never thought to find one here.
Yes, it's all too real.
How does it work?
Well, your writ gives you passage to commune. You would drink of its sap, and sap contains, most likely, a pathway to the knowledge you seek. So while drinking of the sap, you focus on that which you seek answers to. And it sounds rather strange, but the knowledge will be given to you as to where those books may be.
Incredible.
It sounds like right up Brother Ramius's alley.
It's so really the branches of the tree just like go out into the stacks and they're like connected. So it's like, it really is like a Dewey Decimal System. Like you drink the sap and it knows like that's where a book is and that's where a book is. May not give you the exact
so
answer.
So cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
Is there any kind of high associated with the sap? Asking for a friend.
It is an experience.
I have seen some people, in fact, collapse from it, so I do recommend, after drinking of the sap, to sit. It can sometimes be overwhelming, but that really depends on the nature of the information you seek.
Do we all need to drink?
It depends. You can, if you have questions or knowledge that you seek. If there's just one thing in particular looking for, maybe one of you could drink. I would suggest, with the permission that you have, to experience it nonetheless.
How many times per day can we drink of the sap?
I wouldn't recommend doing it more than once a day. You could, but it can be overwhelming.
Are there any, like, ill health effects to drinking the sap?
To my knowledge, no, unless you have a sap allergy.
Okay.
Do you have a sap allergy?
I don't know.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
I don't know how to phrase this question, like, in-world, but what is there a mechanical roll or check we'd have to do while drinking the sap?
Yeah, there's a number of different checks you could roll. And so if you drink of the sap, you can roll, you know, library lore, arcana, nature, or occultism. You could make a case for anything else, but those are kind of the ones here that would make do. And
you focus on one thing, like one question.
Essentially, yeah.
Because we want to know about the Thinlands, we want to know about Kinepo and the Gorgas. We have three topics we want to learn about.
Yeah, so if you each drink of that mechanically, you can each make a roll. And
I think we all should drink.
See what you
think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about do we care about the Thinlands farm, or are we just going to go there?
Well, that's why I got the book mostly was to look at
I think we're
where
gonna
it
go
is.
There.
We're just going to go there. Okay. But.
I mean, we should know about it ahead of time if we can.
I guess the other question, this is what I find a little bit challenging about having a bunch of knowledges. Like Thinlands, would that be occultism or would that be arcana?
Society.
Or nature?
Or society. Or
if it's fae, arcana. I mean, it would be nature,
or is it,
right?
Or is it fae? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Or is it extraplanar? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think arcana, nature, and here's for you. You can actually use, whatchamacallit?
Pursue a lead?
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I can have two pursue leads active at any given time, and I'm going to have Kinepo and the Thinlands be my two pursue leads.
All right, so when you roll this check, do that and give yourself a plus one. Okay. Investigator.
Well, the other thing I can do is I have a little bit of drugs of my own. I have a cognitive mutagen that would basically give me an item bonus to arcana, crafting, lore, occultism, and society checks for recall knowledge. Is this a recall knowledge or?
It is kind of, but it's also like it's an investigation. You're investigating.
All right, I'll save my drugs for later.
Okay. At a dime.
I'll save my drugs for when I don't want to mix.
Yeah, my beer don't need nobody.
Yeah. All right, so
you can
use
the pursue lead action and give yourself a plus one bonus to any of the skill checks that I just mentioned. And then the rest of you just choose which checks you want to do amongst Arcana. I don't think anybody has library lore. Maybe Brother Ramius.
I don't.
Okay.
Well, here's a fun thing. I also have a reaction called Clue In. So I can share information with one of my allies, and they get a circumstance bonus to my check. Basically, they get my pursue lead bonus if they're pursuing that same lead.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, so like as you're drinking, like, cheers, you give them a bonus.
Yeah. So maybe I'll take whoever's taking the one that I'm not of the Thinlands or Kinepo, I'll clue you in. I'll be like, think about it this way.
All right. I think I'll go with nature because I don't have Arcana, and I don't have occultism. I think it's just going to be nature for nature. Brother Ramius, and he wants to know. I mean, what's that? The Thinlands, I guess. I mean,
yeah, you can keep it pretty general. I think.
Yeah, he's really focused on what these Thinlands are and how to find them because, you know, what we know or don't know about the creature. Perhaps if we know at least where to look, we could just find them, right? So.
All right, so I'm going to clue you in, so you're going to get a plus one.
Well, maybe give it to somebody else, because what I'm going to do is my focus spell through his prayer to Grahasta, he's going to do scholarly recollection, which allows him to roll twice on a recall knowledge. And I think it should work in this case, because it's like, I mean, he seriously thinks that these people don't realize that this tree is like a manifestation of Grahasta on Earth, and they just don't realize it, you know? Like, this is so incredibly magically, like, exactly what would be up his alley. So I just feel like it's, he should get that that boost.
Like these ignorant pagans have no idea what they're dealing with.
They have no idea.
Right, they think it's just a library
catalog. Right,
the caretakers of this tree for millennia don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Out of my way, rubes.
All right, well, I can do Arcana. That's my best skill. I could also do occultism if I need to, if somebody else.
I only really have nature and was going to do something Gorga adjacent, so like I could do Canepa with the Gorgas, but I don't. Again, like,
why don't
I'm
you just
good
focus
at nature.
Focus on Gorga? Yeah.
Yeah.
How's your nature?
I have nature too.
Does anyone have a cult?
I have a cult.
So you do occultism, I'll do Arcana.
Yeah.
And who wants the plus one? I mean, like, I guess we could do this.
What's your nature?
My nature is plus four.
Same. So anybody could have the plus one.
I'll give it to Zephyr. Okay. I don't know you yet.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It's okay.
You gotta earn that plus one.
Okay. Right, so I'll be like, Zephyr, remember that thing when we were fighting the Gorgas?
That thing. Ugh.
All right, I would like to. Where is the sap?
Yeah.
Approach the tree and find a place. You will see it the closer you get to it, and you just put your mouth on the tree and drink of her.
Is Brother Ramius going to freak out right now because he gets to, like, be this close to the tree?
Seriously.
Like a tree.
Like his god.
He gets a French god.
You get the French god.
French god. I hereby invite you to French god.
And also get a little high while doing it.
And get high at the same time.
I would recommend once you feel it enter you, take a seat in case it is overwhelming.
Like a COVID vaccine.
And we'll monitor
wait,
you.
Wait 15 minutes.
We'll monitor you for 15 minutes.
All right, he'll walk up to the tree. Keep a guide in my way. And we'll...
Just put your mouth on it.
And he will French kiss.
God.
In his awkward monk
God.
Funnier to me than using Frenching as a verb.
Frenching is such a great verb.
French God.
Frenching God.
The caretaker.
It's like, yeah.
Nice. He likes to watch.
He's
like inches away from the water.
He's like behind a branch.
Oh, you missed a little.
Watching.
Dribbling down your chin. All
right. Do you guys wait for him to experience it, or do you go find your own?
Oh, I'm going to find my own sap.
All right, so you guys, and it's huge circumference of this thing. So you can all find different places. Maybe some of you have to scooch down. It's not right at mouth level. And you all drink of this sap. You're just like sucking on the tree and you feel it enter your body and like fill your extremities. And you become super lightheaded. And we'll be back right after this break. Ooh. You feel the sap coursing through your veins and you kind of black out for a second. You feel like you're reaching for a chair and sitting, but then there's another part of you that feels like you're kind of floating a little bit. It's definitely a euphoric experience, like a drug high. But you feel like in a way you're driving the car and your mind feels wildly open right now to information. It's kind of like an acid trip, but not as frightening. What question do you wish to ask or knowledge do you seek? It's
the Thin Lands.
The Thin Lands.
I guess I'll do Canepo.
Canepo.
Gorgas.
Gorga.
Canepo.
Canepo. Okay. Roll your checks and let me know what you roll and what you got. Skid, what did you roll?
15.
In?
Occultism.
Occultism, 15, okay.
23 in nature.
Okay.
11 in nature.
No!
Wow!
Okay. 21 arcana.
21 arcana.
And 23 nature.
Nice, guys. Nice.
Nature. You... like each of you start asking these questions in your minds, not even like a specific, where do I find out about Kanipu? You're just like thinking these things, and you feel like the tree almost like synapses, like searching the library for information. And it's pulsating within you, and eventually you come to and you're sitting in the chair. All of you are sitting in like the chairs that surround the tree, and you just start walking off in the direction into the stacks and various different places. You don't feel a little bit lost, like you're not.
She's walking around crying a little bit because the tree made her feel her feelings and she doesn't know where she's going.
Bad trip.
How dare that tree? Bad trip.
Bad trip.
I will say this whole experience takes hours.
Whoa.
Are we like out of it sitting there for a while?
You're out of it for a little while and then you come to, and it's not like you're pointed like to this one book. In a way you are, but you're pointed to like several different books. So all of you start going around the library just taking these books out that you feel like you've been sent to from the library tree, and then you sit down at tables and start poring over them and investigating and trying to figure out what you can learn. In a tome of ancient elven lore that one of you finds, imagine you're just like reading, trying to find anything. You find a short passage mentioning the defeat and imprisonment of a slender, lurking creature of shadows. If this is a reference to Kanipo, it would suggest the Slim, or something like them, has been around for millennia, as this book is thousands of years old. Or at least containing information from thousands of years ago. Brother Ramius, you, at one point, deeper into the night, are looking through a volume of the Pathfinder Chronicles.
Oh, cool.
And this one is specifically about the First World. And you, like, light up because you see a small footnote regarding the Thinlands. And the footnote describes a colorless forest located in the shadowy realm of Nighthold, once ruled by the exiled eldest Count Renalc.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's 7, 8, maybe even 9 hours of poring over these books, and that is the information you gain from the Quaking Stacks.
Wow. I mean, that's cool. It makes a lot of sense, too. Like, you would need the tree because...
Tree is basically...
It wasn't a book on the Thinlands, right? It's one small footnote in an elven chronicle.
Yeah, like one of the 50 books.
Pathfinder chronicle of other things.
The search engine.
It's basically, it's a lot for it to sort through, so it took a lot of, like, time to query its tree database.
It's like a control F for the entirety of a library.
Yeah.
If you look more into Nighthold, now that you get this information, start cross-referencing it, you know that Nighthold is a realm in the First World ruled by this count, and it is the embodiment of the chaos of both creation and destruction. It's like a dark realm of the First World that embodied the chaos that comes from both of those things. After this count was exiled, the entire dimension fell apart. All of its buildings crumbled into ruins, and all the inhabitants fought each other. And so it seems like it no longer exists in the form that it once did.
Oh, so the Count was ruling it.
The Count
and
was
then ruling. He was exiled from Nighthold.
And when he was exiled, it fell apart. So the Thinlands, if this footnote is correct, it was a part of that realm.
And is there any indication on how to travel to that realm, or where a portal to that realm?
You start digging in and you see that a passage that says the border of Nighthold is marked by the Light Line, capital L, which is a series of lanterns that serve as a focus for enchantments and prevents the realm from expanding. And it was established when it became clear that the First World would not absorb Nighthold back, even when the Count was absent. So it defies the realms of, like, material plane physics.
But is in terms of how to get there, it's unclear. You were looking through that book on the Wildwood, and you read about that Hydra that came upon a gate to the First World. Maybe there was some connection there. You don't see any other mentions of the Hydra.
Interesting.
In the Tome of Ancient Elven Lore, was there any description about how this slim creature of slender lurking shadows was defeated and imprisoned?
No. No, just like mentions that he was defeated. And so then you think, like, okay, wait, if he's the one that started the Obnubula curse, did he do it in retaliation for this defeat? If it was the elves that
just get back at the elves.
Is he getting back at the elves, or is that why he was defeated? Like, it was a struggle over that? Is it connected at all?
Is the count elven? Do we, like, know anything about the counts?
It doesn't have any information on his ancestry.
It is like, the gates are Ayudara, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, have we talked about, it's just interesting that this curse would be directed against the people that made the gates.
Right, it seems pretty pointed.
Right. Yeah, this seems personal, I guess.
Can we just enter the Nighthold? Like, how do you, I guess that's more of like, in this world, like, how do you travel between realms? Like, is that a normal thing that people can do?
We've all done it, perhaps.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, like higher...
Is it like planes?
More
like
powerful people could probably plane walk.
Okay.
Is it a demiplane or some kind? Speaking of?
It's a realm.
Is it a realm within the Shadow Plane?
It's a realm with of the
Is it one of our other sponsors?
Of the First World.
What's the First World? That's something I don't...
Yeah, I actually don't know that as a player.
Is there a check I can do that on?
The First World is the realm of the Fae. It is an inner sphere. It is so called because it's believed to be the god's first draft of a subsequent plane that would later split into the material plane and the shadow plane. There are rumors that there are, you know, sort of holes in the world that one can pass through. But there are also stories of, like, even very powerful wizards spending their whole lives trying to get to the other side and never achieving it. Some people are just chosen.
Is this like an idea of where fey creatures come from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this all kind of is wrapped up in the origin story of the fey.
Okay, interesting.
What came first?
So maybe, I guess maybe our, so with that, I guess our cause of, or our next step is going to be go talk to this farmer and then
go to the
hoof
farm.
hoof it out to the Finland farms.
Yeah. Go to the Finland farms. Did you find it on your map, Buggles?
I was looking for that. Did I find the Finland farms?
Yeah, so if you found the most recent atlas, like older atlases, you look, nothing, and then you look for like the most recent one, you do see right along near the Tymon border a section of the Wildwood that says Thinlands Farms. So you do know how to get there, and it's a day's journey. So.
Well done, Buggles.
Die away. I know how to read.
Is the is the farm of the sorry, what are their names?
Pa Mosby?
Yes, is Pa Mosby's farm on the way?
Not really, but you know, it's kind of a triangle. You could go to the farm, stay there for the night, or camp out, and then go there. You wouldn't want to go there and come back; you'd lose a day.
Got it.
Just to be clear, where are we in terms of days? Like, is this the next day after the encounter?
8-9 hours later, right?
Well, it took you 2 days to get there, right?
Okay, so we're multiple days after.
Yeah, you're multiple days ahead. I could go back and figure out the exact amount of days.
I don't need to. I just want to make sure, like, all his spells are, fresh and everything.
And you're all at full, you know, if you weren't.
So I should reset my everything.
Yeah.
Such a joke.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe, is it night now? What time is it?
Yeah, I mean, if you were like... That's enough for today. We feel like you've got all the information we need. You walk outside and it's dark. It's night. Where are you guys staying?
Where were we staying? Were we staying at Patsy's?
No, we didn't stay at Patsy's.
We were staying at the Minotaur's Menendez Mansion. Brothers Inn, wasn't it? Or was that another game?
That was another game.
That was
a strange
game. I believe it was...
that was strange, yes.
Minotaur's Mansion.
There is a Menendez Brothers in this town. We just didn't stay there. It's a chain.
It's a chain. It's like a Howard Johnson.
What game was that? And now I'm like...
You weren't there.
Wait, no. That was Strange Aeons.
That was Strange Aeons. But you weren't there.
Yes, I was. Remember?
No, you.
Oh, your body was there.
Your character was there.
Yeah.
I was like, it was like a vortex of all games and settings opened up in my brain. And I was like, when did that joke become reality in our fictional narrative?
So you want to go back to Minotaur's Mansion?
Yeah.
All right. So you leave the Quaking Stacks behind. I imagine you're a little bleary-eyed.
That was incredible.
Staring at books, yeah, drinking sap.
That was useless.
You really must do that again.
This is what you do?
Not always. That was a first for me.
Mm. Never done that before.
It was quite telling.
Yes.
How did it work mechanically? Were you doing individual checks, or were we all kind of working together towards this?
They're all individual checks, and it's like the number of successes is how much information you get.
Got it.
I think we could have gotten more information.
Yeah, we did.
I think we needed a 25 or more.
Mm. Yeah, there's a number of different ways you can do it, but
I rolled a 3, and then I re-rolled for a 10.
Yeah, I rolled low too. So
I mean, it's a straight up investigation. This portion here.
I'm going to maintain my leads.
Yeah.
I pursue leads on, again, Canepo and the Thinlands.
Asta, we are staying at an inn in town. Do you have a place to stay within the city?
No, but an inn sounds perfect.
You're welcome to join us there.
You can room with Zephyr.
What? Fine. Yeah, you can room with me.
I don't mind sleeping on the floor if you
want. I sleep on the floor.
Oh. We can both sleep on the floor.
Fine. We can both sleep on the floor.
Zephyr, not into Asta.
Asta?
I had a bad couple days. Yeah, the tree sent me to the self-help section and not into it.
Asta,
she fell out of a window.
Yeah, that's true.
I almost died.
You have your own trauma.
A bunch of times.
As you're walking from the Quaking Stacks to the Minotaur's Mansion, it's very quiet here. Asta, I don't know if you've spent much time in Seven Arches.
Nope.
Certainly, maybe not.
What's that?
At night, walking around.
What's that?
And
I don't know. We're visitors.
That's Patsy's.
That's Patsy's.
Oh. That's Patsy.
You are a couple blocks from Minotaur's Mansion, and it's very, very quiet. There's no one else walking around. Maybe as you left the stack, you saw a couple people, and then it's like nobody for a while. And up ahead, you have to turn to go onto another street to get to your inn. And there is a, like, alleyway between two buildings that leads to, like, another street. And the way the moonlight is coming in, you see a tall, slender figure casting a long shadow down the alleyway, just staring in your direction.
I feel like one of us sees it first as we walk by, and then we all see it, and we're like, stopped dead in our tracks. Do you guys all see that?
Do you know them?
I see it.
It's just one shadow, right?
Yeah, just standing there, and you can't make it out. Just standing in the distance, and it's too tall.
I hate that. It's too tall.
Buggles presses up against Zephyr's leg. It's like trying to be safe.
Asta puts a hand on her sword. Is this a friend or a foe?
I think so. Knowledge check?
Yeah.
Arcana?
Sure. Foe, Asta. A foe.
It's a 25 if it's regular. If it is Canepo or connected to Canepo or the Thinlands, it's a 26.
Okay.
I have natural 19 for nature, so 23 if it helps.
Is that a 20 on the GCP die?
The
GCP logo?
Yep.
Where was that last week?
I should have been using the GCP die.
Also a Norse Foundry die.
That's a 26.
26, all right, so...
21 occultism.
Really good rolls. I mean, right now you're seeing something that's backlit by the moon, so it's really just a shadow, and it is way too tall and way too thin, so your mind goes to, is this the Slim?
Mm-hmm.
No. You can't see its features. You're about 40 feet away, but the way it, the street, you're supposed to go this way, it's just staring at you.
Zalitha is going to start slowly approaching, hand on the hilt of her rapier.
Okay.
Brother Ramius will fall in behind, and he just starts mumbling like prayers under his breath. Keep it away.
Zalitha, Ramius.
Protect us.
Asta will change shape into her kitsune form.
Wow.
So she has 9 tails, and she is like a large, not large, she is like a her size, but now a kitsune, like a fox-featured face, fully fur.
9 tails.
She has 9 tails.
Can't wait to see this. We're going to need two portraits.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
She's got 3 forms, baby.
It's coming out of your check.
Like she's got the 3 body you didn't know.
She can also turn into a fox.
So. All right, so you, I imagine, like, if you're just walking with her, you guys look, and now there's a different creature standing next to you, and you slowly approach.
No time for that.
Yeah. We'll deal with that in a moment.
But she's got her katana still.
Weapons are out.
Get my bow out, yeah. Say, get ready, Buggles.
Buggles, you're just...
Well, once they start moving ahead, the two...
Fools.
The two fools... Buggles is going to sort of pry himself away from Zephyr's, the safety of Zephyr's leg, and sort of ball up his little fist and start marching after the two of them.
You guys walk up to the edge of the alley, trying to make out any features on this thing, but there's just this, like...
It's just standing there. It's not, like, not interacting.
I always... I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before. Like, I used to ask my buddies, like, what's scarier? Seeing somebody run at you, like, ah! With a knife? Or just walking down a road and turning and have someone staring at you?
Yes.
That's what this is.
Like, you're just walking and there's something...
Backlit.
Staring backlit. You're trying to make out the features, but it's, like, this absence of light, very similar to when you faced the Gorgas. And you get to the edge of the alleyway, and the second you step into the alleyway, it just like steps to the side, and its shadow goes away.
Run after it.
You get to the end of the alley. Seconds later, no one there.
Brother Ramius comes running up behind you.
All of his books.
Yeah. Right.
Perception check?
Looking around. Mm. Perception, John.
Perception, John, go.
Perception.
Natural one.
That's an 8.
Where's my perception? 20.
Nothing. Not a trace of anything. You don't even see footsteps.
We all saw that, right?
I saw it, yes.
Was that what we saw in the tree?
Perhaps. It's here. He's here.
He's watching. It's watching. We're running out of time.
Yes.
We must rest and go first thing to the farm.
Yes. First light.
My first light.
We should keep watch tonight.
That's a good idea.
You think it's not safe indoors?
I don't think anything is safe.
That creature lives in the shadows.
Wherever a shadow is cast, it could appear.
I will keep watch.
Thank you, Asta. As will I.
I mean, we can rotate. We can all share.
Yeah, we'll go back.
Go back to the Minotaur's mansion. You'd already checked out, so you're checking back in.
Awkward.
2 rooms. 1 for the...
Yeah, 2 rooms.
Are you with the lady?
Yeah, I guess I'll take the bed, since okay.
We're both regretting sleeping on the floor.
Yeah. We have a couple of 2-bedroom rooms. Anyway, so you guys are sharing a room. You guys are sharing a room. Are you taking turns? Like, you'll stay up for a little bit, then Buggles will stay up for a little bit, and then you guys on a rotation?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Or, if we do have a suite with, like, multiple bedrooms, we can just have 1 person at a time.
Yeah, well, I mean, if there are 2-bedroom options,
we'll take that. Okay, you can do that.
We still sleep on the floor.
I still take the bed.
You go to sleep. You take turns keeping watch. And you wake up the next day, oddly quiet all night. You hear other people, other patrons of the inn walking around, but nothing out of the ordinary. And is the plan to go to Thinlands Farms or to Pom Mosby's farm, the guy that was attacked by a Gorga?
That first.
Pom Mosby? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Pa Mosby.
So pa can, or par?
Pa.
Like Ma and Pa?
Yeah.
Pa Mosby.
Pa Mosby. It seems like it's a nickname.
Isn't there a Port Mosby in Australia? Something?
Maybe that's where he's from.
Maybe.
That's where he's originally from. You get all your stuff, gear up, don your armor, get your weapons ready, spend time focusing on your spells for the day, and you open the door to your room to go to the hallway. And on the ground, right outside the door to your room, is something carved onto the floor.
Oh my God.
It looks like a halfway between a five-pointed star and like an elongated stick figure. And we'll see you next week.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is
creepy as
fucking
shit.
Blair Witch. This fucking guy.
Yeah.
So creepy.
No fucking
like a
way.
Child's drawing. Ugh. Yeah. Facing private property.
You're going to get charged for it.
Yeah, we're going to get charged.
Seriously. Did anyone take a picture of the floor before they went to bed?
I don't have any money. I don't have any gold.
I don't have any money.
Oh, God. It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.